Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, heaven and hell are two worlds, very far apart. Infinitely far apart. You cannot measure how far apart heaven is from hell if you tried. Much farther apart than the poets and songwriters of my childhood and young adulthood would suggest. Case in point, I say my hell is a closet, and I'm stuck inside, can't see the light. And my heaven is a big house in the sky, got central heating, and I'm all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be Dave Matthews. Or, ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. That's Belinda Carlisle. Or, I don't need to be the king of the world as long as I'm the hero of this little girl. Heaven isn't too far away, closer to it every day. That would be Warrants. Or, finally, baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying here in my arms, I find it hard to believe we're in heaven. Bryan Adams. Now, I'm not trying to dog your memories of the 80s and 90 music era. I have fond memories of that time too, but there is a place, I could say, for using heaven and hell metaphorically in poetic, non-theological language to communicate deep emotion or love. But at the same time, it's important to remember that heaven and hell are very far apart from each other, much farther apart than the poets of our age or any age could suggest. You see, heaven is a place that is more than just emotional feeling when you meet the right guy or girl or see that beautiful sunset. Heaven is a real place where the fullness of the glory of God is located. Real angels and archangels preside in the midst of God Almighty. It's complete perfection. We'll never understand it. God's presence is perfectly and abundantly felt and experienced by those who are there right now. There is no death, no sin, no sadness, no wishing, no wanting, no sorrow, no tears, no regrets, no boredom, no worry, no anxiety, no depression, no what ifs. And you cannot, with your human mind or experience, ever begin to imagine what the glory of heaven is like. Hell, on the other hand, is not just an emotional place of loneliness or depression. It's a real place where there is the complete absence of God's glory and presence. A place where God does not provide daily bread for anyone because he does not provide his presence there. It's a place he does not protect from harm. Jesus talks about hell. He says it's a place where there is eternal fire and gnashing of teeth. And he wouldn't talk about it if it wasn't real. He wouldn't have actually come into the flesh and died for our sins if it wasn't real. It's where the devil, who is like a lion, seeking you to destroy, he himself is the king of this place, and yet he's powerless to do anything, to give anything you would want or need. And even if he had power to give anything you want or needed, he wouldn't. It's a real place filled with never-ending, abundant guilt, shame, torment, sadness, tears, and pain. And you cannot, with your human mind or experience, begin to imagine the terror of hell. Yes, hell and heaven and hell, are two real places, worlds apart, infinitely apart from each other. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus shows us what it looks like when these two worlds, so far apart, when they invade or intrude our life, our earth. They are worlds apart. They seem so unreal to us in this experiential world, and yet they can intrude into our life, onto this earth. Today, Jesus is coming down from a mountain with Peter, James, and John. And he's about to encounter hell and earth. But the hell he is about to encounter takes place just after a very important scene, a very important experience. It takes place just after the transfiguration. His transfiguration. A time, a place, an experience where Jesus brought heaven, real heaven, onto this earth. Jesus had just taken Peter, James, and John, just three disciples, up onto a mountain. Oh, and he brought down Moses and Elijah, the two greatest prophets, the two greatest miracle workers, the two greatest men to ever walk the earth. Jesus brings down to meet with the three disciples he had brought up. And Jesus, his very body, is transfigured. What does that mean? It's glorified. It's what it was after the resurrection, whatever that is. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. He brings heaven to earth. And God the Father himself, the same God the Father who said, "Let there be light," he spoke and there was light and creation came about. The same God who spoke at the baptism of Jesus, "This is my Son," that same Father is present in this heaven and earth experience, in the glory of Jesus in his body experience, with Moses and Elijah experience. God the Father speaks, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." And when God speaks and Jesus is glorified and Moses and Elijah show up, well, you got heaven on earth, and it's so magnificent to be in that moment, in that glory of God. Just as Moses had been 1,500 years earlier on Mount Sinai when he got the Ten Commandments. Just as Elijah had been 850 years earlier on that same Mount Sinai when God whispered to him in the small, still voice. It's so magnificent to be in the glory of God, to see Jesus glorified in all his power and holiness. But Peter, James, and John, they want the moment to last forever. Forever. They want to build shelters so they never have to leave. Think about that. Think about the greatest moment you've ever experienced in your life. Actually, go do that. Dwell on it. What's the greatest thing you could think of? Top five, if you have to pick top five. What made them so great? Think of the greatest beauty you've seen, the greatest feeling you felt, and you can't even get close to the transfiguration experience. And so if you were Peter, James, and John on that mountain, you too respond, "'Tis good to be here, Lord." Wow. Let's make shelters so we can keep this moment bottled up forever. Jesus showed Peter, James, and John heaven. He showed them his glory. He showed them what heaven on earth is like with Moses and Elijah, so that when they came down this mountain, they would remember who he really was. He is, he was, he always will be since his incarnation, the very glory of God in the flesh, the very glory of God in the midst of humanity. And Jesus wanted them to remember this when they came down the mountain and they started struggling with the earth again, and worse, when hell invaded their earth. Because hell does sometimes invade our earth, our lives. So they come down the mountain, and what do they find? They find a great crowd, a great commotion, and standing in the midst are the rest of the disciples. In hell. In their midst is a demon-possessed young man. Now, when God takes human flesh, it's a beautiful thing. The result is Jesus. The lame walk, the blind man sees. The woman who has a bleeding disease for years is healed. The dead are even raised. The hungry are fed, the thirsty are watered. When God takes human flesh, it's a beautiful thing. It's Jesus. When the demonic world, on the other hand, takes human flesh, when hell takes human flesh, it's not a beautiful thing. It's worlds apart from what it looks like when Jesus takes on flesh, when God takes on flesh. When hell takes on flesh, it is an ugly thing. Seizing, spasms, terrifying words are spoken. Foaming at the mouth, gnashing of teeth. That's what it looks like when the demonic world takes on human flesh. Jesus encounters this crowd of terrified humans and this demon-possessed man and his troubled father. He walks right into the crowd with the question, "What's going on?" I mean, can you imagine that? Jesus just walks in and says, "What's going on? Your disciples try to help my son," the father exclaims, but they couldn't. They couldn't help him. Jesus turns the disciples. He turns the crowd. And his response is the exact opposite of what Peter, James, and John responded on top of the mountain when heaven came to earth. Jesus responds much differently when hell comes up to earth and his disciples are helpless. Instead of saying, "It's good to be here among you people," Jesus says, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Bring the boy to me," Jesus says. Jesus says, "With God, anything's impossible." The father says, "I believe, help my disbelief." Jesus then casts out the demon and tells the demon never to come back. He does this in front of the disciples, the father, and the big crowd. And everyone is left in awe. See, when heaven meets hell, it's no contest. No contest. Heaven always wins. Jesus always wins. The disciples, they ask, "How were we not able to do this? Why couldn't we cast a demon out, Jesus?" They asked the question because earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, and they returned with great joy because they had had power to heal and to even cast out demons. Why not this one? And Jesus just sort of gives this answer, "This kind, it takes a lot of prayer." But what I really think he was saying is, "You fools, just speaking the words doesn't defeat hell. It doesn't defeat the devil and his demons. My words aren't magic you can just utter and things happen. It's faith in God, faith in my Father, faith in me, our words, faith in our words. Our words are the things, the words that cast out demons, that conquer hell. You guys know that. I've taught you that. Come on. Look to my Father's power, my power. And if you're struggling, get on your knees and pray. Pray and pray, or ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. But it's faith in my words, not in your words or how you say the words, that will cast out a demon like this. You should have turned to God when it didn't happen. You should have trusted in me when it didn't happen. Oh, by the way, I did show up because I knew what was going on down here, even though I was up there. And then Jesus, from here, goes on and shows and teaches the greatest example and experience of what he's teaching. He takes hell on face to face. He goes to the cross and he dies. He suffers. He's tortured. And all he does is speak little sentences. But the most powerful was, "It is finished. It is finished." And 3 days later, the angel then speaks the words of Jesus, the words of God. "He is risen." And with that, hell is defeated once and for all. The devil is defeated once and for all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I live in a world, in a time, in a place where heaven and hell still intrude our lives. The powers of hell are all around us. Disease, sickness, death, destruction, natural disasters, wars, division, it all riddles our world, our lives. And yes, even demon possession does exist in our time. Although we Americans and the Western world, we really don't believe in such supernatural phenomena. Yes, the devil is certainly still a lion, prowling around after each one of us, seeking us to devour. No, he doesn't show up with a pitchfork or a pointy red tail, but rather he shows up with what we want, what we really want, what we covet, and he tempts us to want it more than God. He wants us to want it, the earthly things, more than heaven itself. He tempts us with the most magnificent possibilities and the most delusional lies. And when we give in, not if, but when we give in and we fall for his lies, he's quick to return with God's word, with his righteous law, reminding us we're not perfect. We're far from perfect. We've sinned. We deserve God's wrath, his eternal judgment. We deserve to join him, Satan himself, and all his demonic friends in hell. That's what the devil says. And it's actually true. Funny thing is, the devil doesn't always lie. He's the father of lies, but sometimes he speaks the truth. But when he tells the truth, here's the thing. It's only half the truth. And his half-truth is worlds apart from God's truth. So far apart from the truth that is found in Jesus. And it's so far apart from that truth, well, it's as good as a lie. You see, while the powers of hell are all around us, and while, yes, we all deserve to go to hell for playing in with and under these tempting powers of hell, the good news is that the power of heaven, the power of Jesus, is more powerful than the powers of hell. The power of Jesus in you and me, not around you and me, but in you and me, is more powerful than any of the powers of hell around us. St. Paul says this, God chose to make known how great among you are the riches of glory, the glory of his mystery. And what is this? It's Christ in you, St. Paul says, the hope of glory, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven, the hope of that transfiguration moment on this earth is Christ in you. That's what it is. Well, how do I know Christ is in me? He answers that question a couple paragraphs later. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophies, empty deceit, according to human tradition or to the spirits of the world. For in Christ, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. How have you been filled in him? By having been buried with him in your baptism. That's what Paul says. So, in other words, Paul's saying, in the name of the same Father that spoke on that Mount of Transfiguration of his beloved Son by his Holy Spirit, on that Mount of Transfiguration, on that heaven on earth moment, in that same name, you were baptized. And when you were baptized in that name, you were buried into death with Jesus. And when you were buried into death with Jesus, all power of hell against you was buried for all eternity. And as Christ was risen from the dead, you have been risen by the power of his word, but the powers of hell were not risen with that. They're dead and conquered forever by the power of Jesus, by the power of his name, you've been baptized into. That's an amazing statement. It's an amazing truth. By the same word of Jesus that cast the demon powerless and cleansed that young man in our gospel lesson for a day, by that same word, your sinful nature has been cast powerless. The devil has been cast powerless. Hell has been cast powerless. And you have been cleansed of all your sins. Yeah, we still struggle on this earth between heaven and hell. But Jesus doesn't. And you have Jesus. Jesus has won the struggle. It wasn't much of a contest. He won the victory, He won the crown of life, and He's given it to you. So when you leave today, leave with great joy, great comfort, peace, confidence, not in yourself, not in how you speak the words, but in Jesus and in His words, leave with great joy and confidence. And if you find a struggle that just isn't going your way, if you feel that hell is a closet and you're stuck inside and you can't see the light, or worse, if you encounter actual hell on earth, as the disciples did, when they encountered the demon-possessed man, turn your eyes to Jesus. Pray. Heaven's not too far away. It's actually right near you. It's actually right in you. Through your baptism, through the Word, Jesus is in you. And hell and the devil can't be farther from that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.